The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the angels do not enter houses where there's pictures and dogs. The angels do not enter houses where there's pictures and dogs. And he continued by saying, surely the angels are offended and harmed by that which the human beings are harmed and offended. So let's listen, brothers and sisters. If the angels don't enter a house where there are pictures, then who is entering the house when they don't come in? The shayateen, the jinn. A house that Allah has not mentioned is a house that is dead. A house where Allah is mentioned is a house that is alive. A house where you have pictures hanging or the TV playing is a house where the angels don't go. And a house where you have the TV playing and music playing, wallahi al-azim, is a house where shaitan is. How could you have Surah Al-Baqarah playing in one room and Salt and Pepper playing in another room? How? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has given us some dua. And these dua, brothers and sisters, are dua that we need to learn. Some of those dua are as follows. When you enter the house, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has informed us to say, or he said, إِذَا دَخَلَ الرَّجُلُ بَيْتَهُ فَذَكَرَ اسْمَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى حِينَ يَدْخُلُ وَحِينَ يَطْعَمُ قَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لا مبيت لكم ولا عشاء هاهنا وإن دخل فلم يذكر اسم الله عند دخوله قال أدركتم المبيت وإن لم يذكر اسم الله عند مطعمه قال أدركتم المبيت والعشاء. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a man or woman enters into their houses and they remember Allah by saying Bismillah or one of the appropriate dua, at the time that they enter, and also if they say Bismillah, at the time that they eat, or they mention the name of Allah, at the time they eat, shaitan says that there's no place for me tonight to sleep, and there's no food for me here. What does that tell you, brothers and sisters? That tells you, number one, that shaitan sleeps. He takes rest. And he also eats. That also tells you that if you don't mention the name of Allah when you enter your house, and you don't mention the name of Allah when you eat, we teach our children to say, God is gracious, God is good, and I thank him for this food, amen. Is this from Islam? Is this from the Quran? Is this from As-Sunnah? Shaitan has just taken part with your child in eating. The person who enters his house and doesn't mention the name of Allah, shaitan says, we have found with you a place of rest. And if he doesn't mention the name of Allah when he eats, he said, I have found a place for rest, and I have found a dinner, and I have found a meal. This is how we develop an Islamic household, brothers and sisters. I guarantee you right now, I don't know, because I don't listen to that crap. I guarantee you right now, I don't know that the artists either. But if I were to ask you, who are the top 10 artists, or the top 20 artists, in the back of the Jet magazine, and I know they're still putting it in there, even though I don't read it, because that's their program. The top 10 Jet magazine hits, and the top 10 artists, I know it's still there, because they're from Shaitan. They got to keep that thing going. I guarantee you, you know the background, you can hum the music, and you know all the lyrics. But if I were to ask you right now, to bring one authentic zikr or dua for eating, walking in the house, or leaving the house, I guarantee you couldn't do it. And you say you got an Islamic household. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we're wasting time. We are wasting time. We are wasting our time. And at the same time that we're wasting, we're incurring sin. We are incurring sin. We are incurring sin and the displeasure of Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the worlds. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, إِذَا خَرَجَ الرَّجُلُ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ فَقَالَ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ فَيُقَالُ لَهُ حَسْبُكَ قَدْ هُدَيْتَ وَكُفِيتَ وَوُقِيتَ فَيَتَنَحَّى لَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَيَقُولُ لَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ آخَرُ كَيْفَ لَكَ بِرَجُلٍ قَدْ هُدِيَ وَكُفِيَ وَوُقِيَ. The Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith collected by Abu Dawood and the Tirmidhi, when a person, male or female, leaves his or her house, they should say, Bismillah, Tawakkaltu ala Allah, I put my trust on Allah, there's no strength nor power except but Allah. It will be said to him, that is sufficient for you. You have been guided, you have been defended, you have been protected. Then Shaitan will turn and lean away from that person who says that when they leave their house. And another Shaitan who's squatting will say to that Shaitan who was squatting to catch you before you said it, how and what are you going to do with a person who's been guided, defended, and protected? There's nothing you can do. Just by making those words, just by saying that dua, Shaitan has been you've been defended, guided, and protected from Shaitan. When we leave our houses, we don't say anything. We leave our so-called Islamic houses, we don't say anything. You want your Islam, you want your house to be Islamic? You should have miswak all over your house. You want your house to be Islamic? You gotta buy miswak. Go down to souk bookstore or wherever you can buy miswak and put it in your house. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was his sunnah from our mother Aisha who said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل بيته بدأ بالسواك. When the Messenger of Allah entered into his house, عليه الصلاة والسلام, he began using the miswak. So it would be a good practice, brothers, to make a little hole in your miswak, hanging on the side of the door maybe, to remind you, on a string. And when you come in, saying Bismillah, Assalamu alaikum to your family, take the miswak and start cleaning your teeth. So you can get that reward of reviving the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and making your house a household that is Islamic. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, La taj'alu buyutakum qubura. إن الشيطان ينفر ينفر من البيت الذي تقرأ فيه سورة البقرة. Don't make your houses graveyards. For surely Shaitan flees from the house of which سورة البقرة is recited. This hadith is collected by Imam Muslim. Don't make your houses graveyards. What does this mean? That means that the obligatory prayers for the men is in the masjid. It's not permissible for you brothers to pray your five prayers in the house. It's not permissible for you to pray your five prayers on your job or in school unless you are in a situation where you can't get to the masjid. Other than that, it's wajib on you to make your five prayers in the masjid. And to make your sunnahs, it is recommended to make your sunnahs in the house, so you won't make your houses graveyards. As for the women, it is the best salat for her out of all the salat. So much so that the scholars of Islam are almost unanimously agreed that if she is in the Mecca hotel across the street from the Kaaba, it's better for her to make her salah, even though it's 100,000 times better at the Kaaba, it's better for her to stay in the hotel room and make her salah in the hotel room than go across the street and pray at the Kaaba. That's how important women staying in the house is. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبُرُّجْنَ تَبَرُّجُ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ أُولَى. And stay in your houses. And don't wear the clothing or have the comportment of the people of the first times of Jahiliyyah. But now, the script has been flipped. The men are in their houses and the women are in the masjids. Don't make your houses graveyards. For surely as shaitan flees from a house where Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. You might say, I don't know Surah Al-Baqarah. I haven't memorized it. The Prophet didn't say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for those who remembered it, memorized it and recited it. He said those who recite it. So if your wife has proficiency in reciting Surah Al-Baqarah, then let her recite Surah Al-Baqarah. If you have some proficiency in reciting the Quran and reading it, then you should recite Surah Al-Baqarah. If neither one of you know it and your children know it, let your children recite Surah Al-Baqarah in the house. It doesn't mean the whole surah. It means any part of Surah Al-Baqarah. If you don't have that, then get yourself an audio cassette tape or get yourself a CD, and the reciter doesn't matter. He can be Pakistani, Palestinian, black, white, it doesn't make any difference. As long as he's reciting Surah Al-Baqarah. If you want your house to be Islamic, brothers and sisters, play Surah Al-Baqarah, recite Surah Al-Baqarah in your house. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اقرأوا سورة البقرة في بيوتكم فإن الشيطان لا يدخل بيتا يقرأ فيه سورة البقرة. This hadith is collected by Imam al-Hakim in his Mustadrak. Read Surah al-Baqarah in your homes, for surely shaitan does not enter a house where Surah al-Baqarah is read. You're arguing with your wife, you're arguing with your husband, you're running around the house screaming, saying shaitan is in the house, shaitan is in the house. Play Surah al-Baqarah and shaitan will leave. Unless you're that shaitan. Unless you're that shaitan. And then if you play Surah al-Baqarah, it'll still work. Because shaitan is shaitan. We're talking about tonight, brothers and sisters, how to develop an Islamic household. The next topic, ta'lim ahl al-bayt. Teaching the members of your house. Teaching the members of your house. It is obligatory that the man teaches his wife. And if he does not have the ability to teach his wife, he has to get a sister to come to that house who can teach his wife Islam. And if he can't find a sister to teach his wife Islam, then he has to let her go to the masjid as long as she observes the hijab. He has to let her go to learn her deen. I'd like to now give six etiquettes of learning and gaining knowledge that comes from our Shaykh, Shaykhul Islam al-Thani, the second Shaykhul Islam to Ibn Taymiyyah. His name was Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, Rahimahum Allah. These are the six advices or six etiquettes that he gives for the people who want to learn Islam and gain knowledge. Number one, asking questions in a good manner. Asking questions in a good manner. Asking questions in a good manner. In other words, brothers and sisters, if you want to become a real student of knowledge, one of the first things you have to do in seeking knowledge is learn how to ask the question. I found this to be a very strange thing among American Muslims. We don't know how to ask the question of what's on our mind. So the person who you've gone to answer the question is confused. They don't understand what you're saying because we haven't even learned how to ask the question right. That's the first thing. The second thing, remaining quiet and listening attentively. Remaining quiet and listening attentively. If you want to gain knowledge, you got to be quiet and learn how to listen. Because if you back there talking while the sheikh or the student of knowledge is giving the class, how you gonna gain the knowledge? You back there yak. You don't hear what he's saying. You got piece of what he was saying. And the person next to you doesn't get any benefit either. Number three, understanding well. We have to ask Allah, brothers and sisters, to give us understanding of the deen. This is what we have to ask. Understanding well. Number four, memorizing. Unfortunately, brothers and sisters in Islam, there's a phenomena that's going to destroy us that has crept up on us in the past 5 or 6 years. And that is, we have become addicts. Not addicts to crack, not addicts to methadone, not addicts to alcohol. We've become addicts to audio cassette tapes. We buy the tapes. No, let me back up. We go to the class. Don't bring a notebook, don't bring a pencil or a pen, and we sit there without any note-taking and buy tapes and don't memorize what the sheikh or the student said. Brothers and sisters in Islam, how can you consider yourself on the path of knowledge? How can you develop your home into an Islamic household and you don't memorize the Quran? You should be ashamed of yourselves. You've been a Muslim for 20 years and you're boasting and you don't have 5 surahs with bad tajweed. I'll say it again. 20 years you've been a Muslim, you haven't memorized 5 surahs with bad tajweed. Wallahi al-Azim, brothers and sisters. I was at a masjid one day where the imam led the salat like this. I swear by Allah, he led the salat like this. The imam, Allahu Akbar, I seek refuge with Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, from his rejected shaitan. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, master of the day of judgment, the most beneficent, the most merciful, thee alone do we serve and thee alone do we... In English, with tajweed, Allahu Akbar. Now, I know that most of us are not like this, but we're not that far from this. 20 years you've been a Muslim, and you know 5 surahs, but you know all the latest hits. You know all the latest jammies, backwards and forwards. You wake up on music. That's why you can't memorize. When your alarm clock goes off, is Kiss FM. You go to sleep on Kiss FM. All through the house, vacuuming, cleaning, cooking. Kiss FM, or whatever the famous radio stations are that's pumping that shaitanic poetry. The Quran of Shaitan. How do you expect to memorize the book of Allah when you have in vogue in your brain? How do you expect to memorize the book of Allah when you listen to Biggie Small? How? How do you expect to memorize the book of Allah, brothers and sisters in Islam? How? When you listen to music. Have you ever realized, have you ever thought, just once, why is it taking me so long to memorize? Why is it taking me so long to memorize one verse? Number five, teaching. Once you gained a little bit of knowledge, brothers and sisters, you have to teach what you know. People are always asking me, like I'm some scholar, to really show you how far off the Muslims are. They think Dawood Adib is a scholar. That just goes to show you how dismal the Muslim situation is here in this city, or in this state, or anywhere in the United States. They actually believe that I'm a scholar. If that doesn't show you how far off we are, you don't know I'm not a scholar. Brothers and sisters ask me all the time, Dawood, how is it that you memorize all those verses? And how is it that you memorize all those hadith? After the mercy of Allah, brothers and sisters, is because I teach all the time. I try to make my job, my occupation, teaching classes. Because after the mercy of Allah, brothers and sisters, there's no way in the world I can keep all this stuff in my head unless I keep giving it up. Keep giving it up. Keep giving it up. One of the best ways to gain knowledge, brothers and sisters, is to teach it. Sit down with your families, brothers. Turn off the TV. I really want to tell you to take a brick and throw it at the screen. But I don't want to seem like a fanatic. Just turn off the TV, at least in Ramadan. How can you consider yourself seekers of knowledge, teaching your family? You break your fast after 14, 15 hours, 16 and a half hours of fasting, or less or more. You go home and you turn on the TV. And you consider yourself fasting, sitting there looking at, what is her name, Kylie Chung? How can you say you fasting? Oh, well, it's nighttime, Akhi. Puffing a cigarette, looking at TV. And you call that an Islamic household. But it's not daytime anymore, Akhi. Brothers and sisters in Islam, if we want to make our homes Islamic, we have to teach our families and teach the Muslims what we learn, even if it's one ayah. And lastly, and this is the fruit of teaching, acting upon the knowledge and keeping within its limits. Acting upon what you taught and keeping within its limits. And with that, we're going to end it with some questions, inshallah, and there will not be any questions after the salah, inshallah. We're going to let everyone go home and not belabor the issue so they can start developing their homes into Islamic homes, inshallah. So they can go home and start implementing some of these things. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who implement what we learn. I'm going to turn around now, inshallah, to see if there's anything in the bucket from the sisters. Alhamdulillah, the sisters are upstairs now. The questions come down from this nice Islamic shoot. Oh, and I call it Islamic because it is a shoot used to get closer to Allah by the questions of our women. Alhamdulillah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again to make us of those who don't say things with our tongues that we're going to regret. Because a person will say something with his tongue that he has no concern of the weightiness of it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it will send him into the hellfire for a period of 70 autumns, 70 fall seasons long. the thing that we say with the tongue, that we don't take any weightiness for it whatsoever. First question from the sisters. Just came down from the chute. You stated that if you say Bismillah while entering and eating, the shaitan says he has no place for rest or meal. Does this mean if you throw food away, you are not feeding the shaitan? Because you said Bismillah when eating and entering? No, this does not mean that. Throwing food away, of course, is a reprehensible act in Islam. We should stay away from wasting the food. If we forget, by the way, that to say the Bismillah or the appropriate dua, because there's more than just Bismillah, but we can say Bismillah, that'll be sufficient, Alhamdulillah. If we forget to say Bismillah, shaitan will eat with us. But the Prophet ﷺ said, if the person remembers before they finish eating and drinking saying Bismillah, and he says, Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhiruhu, then shaitan throws up in his stomach what he ate with you. If you remember before you finish eating and you say Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhiruhu, in the name of Allah, in the beginning and the end, then shaitan, whatever he ate, Allah causes him to throw up what he ate with you. It seems as though, here's another one. This thing reminds me of those chutes in the office buildings where you put the mail. This is a question of behavior in the masjid. Can you please explain the etiquettes of behavior in the masjid for brothers and sisters and their children? Inshallah, we were going to discuss this in the future, in the very near future, because we don't have time right now. The subject is Islamic household. So we're just going to, if you would allow us, we're going to leave this question, put it in the box where the questions go, if we have a box, I don't know, but we should get one, inshallah. And we're going to deal with this in a separate topic on the etiquettes of the masjid. Right now we're talking about the house. Now,
one of the things that you neglected to mention about and having keeping in our household is dates. And also, I was reading the book concerning the music, and in reading this book, the author was saying that the effects of music, that this woman had given birth, and she didn't even realize that she had given birth because she was in a cinema watching a movie, and there was some music that was taking place.
La ilaha illallah.
The effects that the music had on her.
Our brother in Islam, Mustafa, Hafizahullah, may Allah preserve him and all of us, he said that I didn't neglect to mention it. Actually, I was going to mention it when we got to the aspect of food in the house, developing Islamic household and the section of food. Because I have a big thing that I'm writing, putting together when we get to the topic of food in the house and what type of foods we're going to eat. And when we should eat, and how we should eat, what hands should we eat with, how we should eat together. But since he mentioned it, I'm going to mention it. He said, I neglected to mention about dates, that we should have dates in the house. I believe that he's referring to the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ said, Baytun la ta'am la tamra fihi ka baytun la ta'am fihi. A house where there's no dates in it, it's like a house where there's no food in it. A house where there's no dates in it is like a house where there's no food in it. In another narration, he said, a house where there's no dates in it is like a house where the inhabitants of that house are hungry. So you can have all the stuff you want, but it's highly recommended to have dates in your house. And I don't see any more questions from the sisters, so I'm assuming that that's it. Now,
Can you give the transmission for the hadith where you said that for a brother to backbite his brother is stronger than committing zina with your mother?
No, the hadith that we mentioned was the hadith of riba, that the least part of riba is like having sex with your mother, and the worst part of riba is dishonoring your brother. So dishonoring your brother is backbiting.
Give the transmission away, the collection?
Inshallah, I'll give it to you after Salah. Any other questions about this? No.
Say you have somebody in your house, be it your wife or someone who's living with you, a niece or something, who is new to Islam, just took their Shahada and such. You know, we seem like pretty weird folks to them. Do you have any advice on how to, do we A, you know, try to bring them along slowly, or, you know, because I just have like a thing inside of me that says you don't want to beat up somebody with a lot of hadith that they don't, that they're just not ready for yet.
You're talking about a person who lives with the kuffar living in their home.
Well, they recently took their Shahada, so they're not familiar with Islam. They're trying, but you know, for example, say they're they have a lot of pictures around the house. Is permissible to have the pictures in a drawer or something like that? Is that right?
But well, for the first thing, I think you're mentioning about a person who is living with a new Shahada.
Right.
The best thing that I would tell you in a nutshell, the person who's living with someone who just took Shahada, is the best way to deal with it is just your actions. It's just be the best Muslim that you can for the pleasure of Allah. Not to bring them into closer to Islam, but for the pleasure of Allah. And then, to let them see that this is Islam. Instead of talking so much, just be a good Muslim. As for the pictures in an album or otherwise, the ulama say that even that's not permissible. Those who mention the hukum of pictures in the house say the pictures is better for you to get rid of the album altogether. That's what they say, and Allah knows best. I don't think there's any more questions from the sisters. There's one more, and now.
The first point on the
and we're 3 minutes over the time for the Salat the Adhan, so inshallah.
The first point on the etiquette of learning, you mentioned about asking questions, and in doing that, I think we should be cautionate us about asking too many questions.
Yes. He mentioned about that once the first of the six etiquettes of learning and getting knowledge of how to ask the question, he said we should also mention asking too many questions. We ask too many questions. And of course, asking too many questions is going to be relative to the person. Because some people may be new in Islam and they need to know. And you know when you ask too many questions, and you know when you're trying to cause problems. And Allah knows better than you. These are the last two questions from the sisters. You stated the worst thing is to dishonor your brother and sister in Islam by means of backbiting, etc. How should one address someone who calls you a criminal when they themselves are criminals? Is it possible? This is an important question. Can we just wait for the event? Just 2 minutes, inshallah. Is okay?
Call the event and answer the question.
Yeah.
Okay, call the Adhan then. He's going to call the Adhan and then we'll answer the question, inshallah. We'd like to answer this question, inshallah, these last two questions from the sisters. The first one, the sister said, you stated the worst thing is to dishonor your brother or your sister, like, for instance, in backbiting. How should one address someone who called you a criminal when they themselves are criminals or sinners? That is sinners. Before we answer this question quickly, I'd like to say that there is a principle in enjoying the good and forbidding the evil. And I hope that the brothers, inshallah, just let me get your attention for a minute, brothers. Just let me get your attention for a minute, please, if possible. Because this is a very important principle that I think most of us, probably the vast majority of us, are not aware of. In the principle, in the principle of al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy an al munkar, enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, it has four aspects. Enjoining in the good and forbidding the evil has four aspects. Number one, enjoining the good on yourself and forbidding the evil on yourself. Enjoining the good on others and forbidding the evil on others, from others. But at the same time, you are obligated to enjoin the good on others, even though you don't enjoin the good yourselves. And you are obligated to forbid the evil of others, even though you don't forbid the evil on yourselves. This is not hypocrisy. This is not hypocrisy. Hypocrisy in the English language is not what is hypocrisy in Islam. The scholars of Islam, like Imam an-Nawawi, who wrote Riyad al-Salihin, he and others said that the principle of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil is so important that if you are drinking alcohol and the person who's drinking alcohol is sitting right next to you with you, you are obligated to hold his hand from drinking the alcohol, even if you were drinking it yourself. This is Islam. This is Islam. But in our minds, because we don't know this principle, we say that person is a hypocrite. How can he tell me to wear a khimar and stop wearing my ears out, which is haram? To have your ears out, sister, is haram. To have your neck showing is haram. To have your feet showing is haram. To see the size of your bones is haram. To see the color of your skin through your clothes is haram. 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 To wear perfume outside is haram. To wear lipstick outside with makeup is haram. If you know the brother smokes reefer, he is obligated to tell you you can't do that, even though he's smoking reefer. Because enjoying the good is on yourself and others, even if you're not doing it. And forbidding the evil is obligation on you, even if you're not doing it. And Allah knows best. So if the person is calling you a sinner, and you are, that's a khimar or a kufi you have to wear. At the same time, that person who's doing that, doing a crime similar or different from yours, they should abandon their own sins. But that doesn't mean that they can't tell you not to abandon yours. Do you understand, brothers? So if a person is not praying, or a person is not fasting in Ramadan, and if he's not praying and you're not fasting in Ramadan, he has the right to tell you to fast in Ramadan. And you don't have the right to say, you can't tell me that, because you don't even pray. No, you have to tell him, you're right, Akhi, I should be fasting Ramadan, and you should pray. You don't have the right to tell him he can't tell you, or she can't tell you. Because if that was the case, as Imam an-Nawawi said, if we had to wait for everybody to be correct before they enjoin the good and forbid the evil, sin and corruption would take over. Which of us is sinless? So we can say now, I can tell you what to do and nobody can say anything to me. There's nobody like this. This is ridiculous to think. I'm not saying the person who sent the note is ridiculous. I'm not saying the person who sent the note is ridiculous. I'm saying it's ridiculous to think that you have to be without sin to tell somebody to stop committing a sin. This is a trick from Shaitan. And the last question before we pray: when there is no firm foundation, such as male role models, how are sisters to raise and deal with their sons until Allah makes it so that there is a male figure? In other words, how should single women handle their sons? I tell you, sister, this may not sit right with you, but some sisters, I don't totally agree with brothers taking other sisters' sons out, like a big brother's thing. I don't totally agree with it. I see some defects in it. I'm not saying it's totally wrong. Some of us do this. But I see some defects in sisters giving their sons to brothers to take them out. And we don't have time to discuss those the defects that I personally see in it. But what I would suggest is that the imam of the masjid should be confronted with the situation, and that the sister should strongly, after standing up at night in tahajjud and fasting and begging Allah, she should strongly consider getting or looking for marriage. I cannot understand why a sister would be turned off if she's been married 2, 3, 4 times and they went bad, or she got a raw deal or whatever, would make her not want to get married again, but still wants a male figure to look after her children or her sons. I would advise that sister to ask Allah, stand up at night and ask Allah to give her a good husband, and along with that, talk to the imam of their respective masjid so that they can confront their imam, so their imams can deal with the situation of single sisters who have sons who need role models. But the ideal situation is to advantageously and zealously look for a husband. Because in reality, the brothers are not responsible for your sons. In that sense, they're not responsible for your sons. And some of them, out of the goodness of their hearts, neglect their own sons, taking care of your sons. And this is not fair. So inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you, sister, you specifically, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the best of husbands in this life.
Ameen.
Ameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to specifically you, sister, to give you the best husbands in this life.
Ameen.
And we ask you, oh Allah, to give this sister who asked this question the best of husbands in this life. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.